So I wanted to continue a little bit today, just real briefly. I wanted to pick up where we've been sharing at the direction of the Lord. I shared last week that the Holy Spirit had directed all three pastors, myself, Pastor Greg, and Pastor Enrique Perez of RLCC Español, spoke to us all individually. We never had a conversation, and spoke each to each one of us to teach on the motto of this church. I thought, okay, sounds like a good idea. And so this motto that was given to this church was given to Pastor Sarah when her and Pastor Clinton were coming back after they graduated from Rhema Bible Training College in 1980. And they happened to be driving back on Route 80 from Oklahoma. And as she shared, when they were driving through the Delaware Water Gap in this area, she said the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said that where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the Spirit of God is directing, and where the power of God is manifested. And so through the years, as I've shared, we've confessed that, professed it. This is the place where these things are, where this is a place. We would confess it every Sunday. And recently, the Holy Spirit said, you need to make that personal. And I went, huh, never thought about that. He said, you need to say, I am a place where the love of God is evident, me. I'm a place where the word of God resides and is taught. I'm a place, a person where the Spirit of God directs, and I'm a place, I'm a person where the power of God is manifested. And I said, when you start to make it personal and you start working that, you start walking in the love of God, you start walking in the word, you start being led by the Holy Ghost, you let the power of God flow through you, then you are going into the world bringing that. That's what God wants. And when we come together and we operate that way, oh man, I'm telling you, heaven on earth is what it is. There's no place for Satan to influence. There is none. And so the Lord just started sharing along those lines. And one of the things, I never saw it, took the time to just meditate on the motto. And it got me to thinking, Minister Joe was sharing something this morning during the ministry giving. But when it says, the love of God is what? You know what that is? What does it say? The love of God is evident. Evident. Uh-huh. And when you look that word up, evident, I just, you know, sometimes you can make a profession so long that you just kind of just chat the words. Stop and look that word up, evident. Evident means implies presence of visible signs that lead one to a definite conclusion. So when you say, I am a place where the love of God is evident, when they meet you, there's evidence. They've come to a conclusion that you represent, you show the love of God. There's evidence of it, right? And so one of the things the Lord shared with me or gave me some examples was in this scripture in Matthew 4, verse 18. I'll read this from the New Living Translation. Matthew 4, verse 18, 19, and 20. It says, one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and also Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing in a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Huh. So in the King James, it just says, "I will make you fishers of men." This says here, "I will show you how to fish for people." And verse 19, this verse in the Passion Translation, it says, "Jesus called out to them and said, 'Come and follow me, and I will transform you.'" I like this. "I will transform you into men who catch people for God." Huh. So he will literally transform you. He will make you. He will show you how to reach people, to catch people. And so this is part of this motto, is that God was, showing me, said, "We're going fishing." And so for me, that meant something, because as a young person, I did a lot of fishing. I did it up through, till I got too busy. And I did a lot of fishing. And so it meant something to me, because I have fished for all kinds of fish in every kind of weather and every kind of area. I've backpacked. I've done ice fishing. I've gone into remote areas. I've fished in creeks, in streams. I've done fly fishing. I've done all kinds of stuff. And I don't do that anymore because I don't have time. But it was fun. Sometimes, when if I have a day where I just don't have anything to do, which is rare, I'll just go up into where near I live, the Harriman State Park, which has about 15 or 20 lakes, and it's nice. There's no cell phone coverage, so nobody can get me, and I just bring my pole with me, and I'll go fishing. And it's quiet. Your mind is quiet. So it's nice. It's a nice, some people play golf. Some people fish. I don't play golf. So I don't do that at this point. So my point is that when you fish, you have to know what fish you're going after, and you need to know what kind of bait they hit on. You need to know, there were times that I'd go fishing and I didn't know what they were hitting on at that time of the year. So there may be bait they're hitting on at that time of the year because certain things are in the stream. They might be eating on that, and you're using something and they're not hitting, and you're out there wasting your time because you didn't know how to fish. So I spent a lot of time asking questions. Sometimes you'd ask other fishermen. Sometimes you'd go to bait shops. Sometimes you just ask questions. And so that, to me, is the same. There's a parallel here in that God said, "I will show you how to fish for people." He will show you what people will respond to. He'll show you how. What's the bait? What's the bait? The love of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God directing, and the power of God. That's the bait. And he's going to show you and cause that to manifest and demonstrate through you. That's the bait. So the times that we're living in, there needs to be demonstrations of the love of God. I mean, that's John 13:34. He said, the love of God that you have towards people will prove to the world that you're my disciples. It'll prove to them. That's bait. Spiritual bait. And so this really, started me thinking. I said, okay, when we go out into society and we're mingling either on our job, we're going shopping, we're doing whatever we're doing, when we see people, what do we think? It's like when you have a passion for something, when I did a lot of fishing, if I went by lakes, I'm telling you, I'd go, man, I wish I had my pole. I wonder what's in there. If you bake, you go to the store, you go, oh man, look at that. I'm going to bake this. Right? I mean, people I know, they play golf. They're like, where's the nearest driving range? Where's the nearest golf? So they're looking for opportunities to fulfill this passion of theirs. So do we have a passion to reach people? Because if we don't, we need to stir it up. Because the passion that we have, God wants to reach people through us. And so we can't just go through life going, I don't want to be bothered. They bother me. No, we have to reach people. People are hurting. And people sometimes put on a good mask, but they're hurting really. And they need help. And we're the help. We're the bait. We've got the bait, right? So God is stirring us. I like this in 2 Corinthians, and we're familiar with this, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20. This is the New Living Translation. It said, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person or a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. I remember when I was I wasn't saved. I was going through a real rough patch in my life, and I went to an Assembly of God church, and that pastor, I went up to just meet him, greet him, and say, hello, how are you? He looked at me square in the eye and said, are you saved? He didn't say, nice to meet you, whatever. He just looked at me and said, are you saved? Are you born again? I said, no. He said, you want to be? I said, sure. Boom. And we became lifelong friends until he went home to be with the Lord. And he started coming to Redeeming Love and, was a pastor. And he started to grow in the things of God. And then he left the Assembly of God and started, an independent church. But we became friends. And so it was just a wonderful thing. I mean, he wasn't bashful about the gospel. You just ask somebody, are you saved? Do you know Jesus? Somebody says, no, do you want to? That's where we need to be today, because people are walking around, they don't know Jesus, and they're struggling. So often, because we get together on Friday, and if you're not coming out on Friday Bible studies, it's a wonderful opportunity. We're doing the same syllabus and Nanuet. Get a grip on the basics. And so often when you talk to people, some kinds of responses, they'll say, well, if you were to die, where would you go? Well, I believe I would go to heaven. And they go, I'm a good person. Huh, okay. Well, your works are good, but they're not going to get you into heaven. And so that's a typical answer. That I'm a good person. Well, that's good. But there's only one good, and his name is Jesus, and he shed his blood for all mankind. So it's not unless we get receive him and believe that God raised him from the dead, because his resurrection is my resurrection. So if I don't believe he was resurrected, then You don't believe you were resurrected from the dead. So you need to have those kind of frank conversations with people and just ask them. You don't have to be rude. Just say, hey, you know, have you ever thought about this? Most people don't until it's, you know, where they have to. But in verse 19, it says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Isn't that the wonderful news? People sometimes think they have to work at getting better. And we have this wonderful news that Jesus is not holding, God's not holding any of your sins against you. Nothing. Whatever you've done, he's paid for it. And all you need to do is ask him to come into your heart. Ask him, believe that he's the savior of your sins, your soul. And so in verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So it's as if Christ were there pleading with them, come back to God. So he's saying we are his ambassadors, and he's pleading. It's as if he's pleading through us, come back to God. So we're his ambassadors. And the Passion Translation, verse 20, it's at 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are ambassadors of the Anointed One who carry the message of Christ to the world as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled. So God is wanting to work through us. We're ambassadors for him, and so we need to know what his will and purpose is. Yeah. Now let me read this. I thought this was really significant where we are today. This is the Passion Translation. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. It's 10. I'm going to read 10 through down a few verses through 16. But this is the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. It says, for you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Who? Giving you the full revelation of God. Verse 11. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing. Huh. For it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. That's why we need to read the scriptures, because the devil is pulling people to fight one another over all these things. Nationalities, ethnicity, education, economic status, all of this stuff means nothing in God's eyes. It's Christ in us that means everything. And when you begin to know that, then you will not be tempted, or you'll not be swayed or distracted. You won't. I remember Pastor Clinton and Sarah, just for me, in their latter years, you know, they became pastors. They lived in the 60s, and both of them said, we marched in protests. We marched because all of that was prevalent at that time. Nobody's here, no one, even them, said, there are disparities in society. There are these things that are going on. They marched, but they said, when we got saved and the revelation of the word, it was, I never, in all the years I was there, with almost 3,000 people coming every Sunday in that arena, predominantly African American, there were some of other ethnicities, I never heard anything about, well, color. Sharon, am I telling the truth? Thank you. Sharon was there, we sang in the choir. Am I telling the truth? Never heard one thing about what's going on, we're being put down, this, that, and the other. They never focused on your race. They focused on who you were in Christ. Never. They wanted people to be built up spiritually to go out and affect society. And they did. And so it impacted me because I felt, as a Christian, you didn't feel alienated. Everybody was welcome in that church. Didn't matter who you were. You were part of the body of Christ. And that was so, I can't tell you, it was so wonderful. It was like heaven. And everybody got along with everybody. And that's why this scripture, it says, in this new creation life, this new life that we have, your nationality makes no difference, your ethnicity, your education, your economic status. I mean, we were there. We had professional ball players. We had Spider Lockhart. We had, people that played for the Knicks. He was 7 foot tall. We had actors. We had people with economics. Made no difference. Nobody got special treatment. Nobody. We were all there to learn and to grow spiritually. And everybody loved one another. And it was just a wonderful thing. So I share that. It says, verse 12 here, continuing, it says, you are always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. And be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. See, this all in context of it's Christ in us. Be merciful, be kind, be gentle and humble and unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with somebody, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with psalms and with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. So God is looking for us to live this new life in Him, not only within the church when we gather, but out in society. That's where He's wanting us. You know, you're like a flower. Are the bees coming to you? Are they drawn to you? Or are they going, oops, no, there's no honey here. There's no pollen here. Yeah. But God is looking for us to reach. And let me just share this as we move along here. Matthew 28, verse 18. This is the New Living Translation. I'm just going to read Matthew 28, 18 and Mark 16. This is a great commission. Starting in Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go. So he's authorizing us to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark 16, also in the New Living Translation. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. So the scripture is very clear. Let me read this. So the thing I wanted to touch on today was last week we talked about the love of God. We're going fishing with the love of God. And this week I wanted to touch on, we're going fishing with the Word of God. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the Word of God. So God is in that motto that the Lord gave Pastor Sarah to this church. This is a place, I am a place where the love of God is evident. How do I know that? Romans chapter 5, it says the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And then I'm a place where the Word of God is taught. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let it be in you. But one of the things that I wanted to touch on was this. In order to reach people, you're going to need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So you'll know what to say. You'll know how to do something. What will you have? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So you may not find chapter and verse, but it's God's will that all men be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. He desires all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And the devil's trying to blind people to the truth. But we're here to reveal and unfold the truth to people and appeal to people to come back to him, because he's not holding their sins against them. That's the truth. So he's wanting us to share the truth of God's word with people so that they don't have these crazy ideas about God. They want to see him demonstrated in us, because people have all kinds of comments about the church, don't they? All kinds of comments. Some of them could be true. Some of it might be true. We see all kinds of stuff going on. And so, you know, pray for the church. Pray for that people would wake up, because people are going to hell for eternity. And we're here to snatch them into the kingdom of God. So wherever you're going, wherever you're going in your daily activities, be led. Some people might not be open, but share the gospel. What's the worst thing that could happen? You get a no. But you know what? To me, how many people have had things sown? What does the scripture say? It says Paul wrote, he said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So you may plant a seed and somebody else may water it. And somebody else may water it. And somebody else may water it. And that person may get to the place where they go, you know what? I know I need to get right. You don't know what people are, where they're at in that journey. We're not there. That God is the one that gives the increase. All we're meant to do is to do what? We've been given the message of reconciliation. We're to tell people God is not mad at them. He's not holding any accounts against them. So for me, it's asking God every day, God, show me how to reach people today. When I get up in the morning, when I'm leaving out and I'm going into stores, or I'm rushing in, show me how to reach the people that I come in contact with today. He may just have you do something. You know, again, if you're going into establishments and people know you, sometimes it's establishing a friendship with someone or an association. Hi, how you doing? Just be nice to people. Start saying something nice, and you just establish something. And after a while, they may be comfortable to say, you know, there's something different about you. What is it? Bingo. And you just build up a relationship with people to talk with them. That's what you do. And then you take the bait that God has given us, the love of God, the word of God, the spirit of God. I mean, you have him in you. He may reveal something about a person. Just share this with them. He knows the kind of bait that will hook them. He'll know what you need to say and do. You know, when I used to go fishing, sometimes it would be how you jiggled the pole, or you just snap it, or do something to cause the fish to respond. It's the same thing. The Holy Ghost knows what will cause someone to respond. And so if we just ask him, when I go out and I'm busy about my day, show me how to reach someone today. Send people across my path. Be open to be used. This is such a wonderful time to be alive, to be used of God. I'll tell you what this told me, for me. It told me two things. Time is short, and there's not much time left. The fields are white with harvest, and the laborers are few. That's what it told me about this, to focus on this, number one. Number two, that he's looking at not only here, but I'm talking about the Spanish congregation in Nanuet, the congregation here, and the congregation in Nanuet, that he would think so much of us to say, look, I trust you. I want you to be involved. I'm going to show you how to do it. Some churches aren't even open to this. Their hearts aren't open. They're so busy doing stuff, they're not even open to want to get involved in kingdom business. And for God to take the time to nudge us to teach on this tells me he trusts us. We're people open to respond. We're people open to do it. That's what it told me, that our hearts are open and the laborers are few. And he's saying, here's some laborers that I can use. That's what it told me. And the time is short. Time is very short. And so God is in this. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to read this. This is Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. This is the Passion Translation. This is really good. Ephesians chapter 1. 17, 18, 19, and 20. It says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. That's what we need when we're trying to reach people. We need to have a deepening intimacy with him. Verse 18, I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. Now, listen to verse 19. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power as it works through you. Whew. So God is wanting to work through us and show off, not just through select individuals. He's wanting to work through his body. And we're going to have to do what? Through faith. those that believe, his power will work in us, and it will be what? An advertisement. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Yeah. So let me just close with this one scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3 in the Passion Translation. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities, not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your life is hidden away in God in Christ. Yes, we have responsibilities. We have daily responsibilities that we have families, we have children, we have grandchildren, we have, you know, associates, we have jobs. Those we're not severed from, but we are to fill our thoughts with heavenly realities. We're to ask God, that's the heavenly reality. God, how do I reach these people that I'm interacting with? How do I reach them with the love of God? How do I reach them with the word of God? How do I reach them directed by your spirit? How do I reach them with the power of God? By faith, I receive that today. I receive your wisdom. I receive your knowledge and your power working through me to reach people today. How do I do that? Show me. And you may not even be thinking about it. And he'll say, speak to that person over there. Well, what am I going to say? I don't know. But I'm going to go over there and take a step and just start walking in that direction. Right? And when you get over there, you just start having a conversation. You know, it's interesting to me, as many years as Pastor Clinton sat behind the piano and everybody just reveled in, you know, his anointing and the psalmist anointing and all that did. I worked around him for 20 years, sang with him in the choir. And we had a responsibility when we would work with him and come out and lead worship. Our responsibility was we had to pick songs for Sunday morning. He didn't do it. He'd say, pick 10 or 11 songs, put it on the piano. We did it every Sunday. And this is what he used to say. He'd say, sometimes I don't have anything. I'm feeling flat. I just sit down at the piano and I just start playing the songs that you have. And then, boom, Holy Ghost gets involved. I'm saying all that to say you may have no clue what you're going to say to that person. You have a direction to go over there. Just start going in that direction. And he'll give you the words to say. He'll show you what to do. It's got to be by faith. You got to walk by faith and not by feelings or sight. You may have no clue what you're going to do. But you take a step of faith and he empowers that. He gets involved in it. And that's all we're saying. When we're reaching people, you don't know everything about people. You're not God. He does. He may reveal something to you. He may not. He may just want you to just walk in love with him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's an exciting time, and there's an explosion about ready to happen in this earth that no man will get the glory for. no man. And so if we'll just get ourselves prepared, prepare our hearts, don't be distracted with things going on around, and let him direct us. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for empowering us with your wisdom. Thank you for enlightening us and enlightening our hearts to know what to do, what to say, what to speak, how to reach people, Father. Because that's what you came for, to die for people's sins and to make them right with God. And so, Father, we are participants with that to help you to reveal your goodness. And so, Father, we open our hearts up to be led by you, to reach people who are lost and reach people who are just wayward and are lost and have no hope. And so, Father, we yield our hearts this day, and in these coming weeks, show us how to fish for people, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I just trust that these things will give you some things, stir your heart, make you think about some things maybe you hadn't thought about before, and be more people-minded when you go out, not just in one way, but have some spiritual thoughts when you're interacting with people. Think about, have the mind of Christ when you're dealing with people. And how can I bring some encouragement to them, some hope to them in Jesus' name? Amen. Praise God.